Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Drunk women solving.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Taylor Glenn, and I'm a writer and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
As well as author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
This is where beer meets breaking and entering, Prosecco meets perjury, and vodka meets vandalism. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Palm, yes. You're going to know this. Men and women drink water.
Boy, do I know my historical unhappy marriages.
Hannah George, you're very quiet. What's going through that curly-haired brain of yours?
30 years of experience, that was.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. Now, our guest for this episode has had such a fascinating life and career story that honestly, it deserves a podcast in and of itself. I'm just saying. But I will try to sum her up with, she is the former chief superintendent of the Metropolitan Police. She's a crime analyst, a broadcaster, and author, amongst other things. She recently appeared on the Channel 4 series Murder Island, and she has written a book about her experiences working for the Met, which we will definitely discuss at the end. But I am so pleased to introduce Parm Sandhu.
Yay! Welcome, Parm.
Oh gosh, I didn't expect to clap. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for coming.
We really are excited to have somebody who actually knows what the fuck they're doing, because this is probably first.
I think Parm, you might learn a thing or two from us.
If nothing else, I'll learn the swear words that I've never learned before.
I don't know if we have any new ones we can dazzle you with after your career. I'm sure you've heard it all, but we'll try. We will try. Yeah. Now, we're going to get into a crime case, obviously, in a bit, but we always kick off with this question, which is, have you, Parm, ever been the victim of a crime?
Unfortunately, I have, and it still pains me to this day. I still feel incredible pain from the crime that was committed against me. And if I may share that with you.
Yes.
I live in a really lovely little market town just outside London, and where I live, your mobile phone is safe, your car is safe, your house is safe, but what isn't safe is your evergreens. So I moved in, and if I may explain, I moved in old house, rickety old house, and little fence at the front and everything. And I planted a hedge. Oh. And guess what happened?
No.
I planted it in the afternoon, and the next morning, I went to bed that evening. Next morning, I got up, I opened my curtains, and my hedge is gone.
No.
It's gone.
What?
Somebody turned up in the night with a shovel and
Whoa.
Something. And there was about 20 plants in a row, all in the ground, planted, everything. They weren't even in pots. They were in the ground.
What?
So my hedge lasted less than 24 hours. And do you know, the worst thing about it was that a couple of days later, they had a crime spree in my town, and they nicked the butcher's hanging baskets as well. How
oh
bad
my
is that?
Goodness.
Oh, what is going on with this?
I have
no
so many questions.
Phone.
Oh my gosh. I have so many questions. I don't know where to start. We now know that there is a hedge theft capital
epidemic
of the UK.
Yeah.
But you know, I didn't get my hedge back.
You didn't get
it
back.
And somebody has got my hedge. This was a couple of years ago, and they've probably got a beautiful hedge in their garden with the butcher's hanging basket still there.
Yeah.
And I want to know, I want my hedge back.
Yeah.
Is it weird that I'm picturing the butcher's hanging baskets just full of meat? Just like absolute, there's chops in there, there's sausages. I mean, I'd nick that, to be fair, if that was hanging outside all night. But that's crazy.
But would you nick my hedge? That's the question. Are you the perpetrator?
What? Yeah. I mean, if you don't mind me asking, how much is a hedge?
Because I've
never denied
that's
it.
That's a good
question.
She hasn't denied it.
Let's start with that. Well, yeah, Hannah really avoided the question.
My hedge still had the little price tags on it, because what happened was I had wasted, and I feel like it had been a wasted day. I wasted a whole day in the garden centre. It cost me a fortune because I had to pay for my coffee, my lunch. And they serve wine in there. So I had a couple of glasses of wine.
Amazing.
Chose this hedge. And I don't know, I think the plants were about £15 each.
Okay.
£15 a head. And there must have been about 20, and I had to measure, and I had to get a measuring tape and measure the little things and measure how deep you dig down and put
it's a lot of work.
I mean, when you add all that up, which is impossible,
maths is impossible.
It's just impossible, but it's the effort as well that, cause I'm not a gardener, and when I've had to do anything in a garden, I just find it impossible. Just like math. I don't do gardens. I don't do math. What do I do? Nothing. Just the effort of doing that. And then just, what do they do with it? Is there a black market for hedges? I don't understand what you do once you've taken.
Because like if it was a rare, you know, like some types of plants are quite expensive, but that sounds like it was like not so special that they couldn't have gone to the garden centre.
Well, I reported it to the local police officer.
Oh, that was what I wondered you did.
I did.
Excellent.
And this little old guy came round and he ate my biscuits. So there's no expense there. He ate my biscuits. He drank my tea. And then he said, well, next time when you replant your hedge, why don't you plant a hedge with like thorns in it? And I said, have thorns in it. And they still took it.
His advice was
that because there's a theft, there's a crime spree in the area and your plants are no longer safe, we suggest that you plant ones with thorns in it. And it's like little red berries. And I still remember it because I haven't got a hedge now. I haven't replaced it. So if anybody can find my hedge for me,
I'm sorry.
Know where it is.
But saying that, isn't that sort of the plant equivalent of saying, like, maybe you shouldn't have been wearing that skirt? Because that
or
just
like,
feels
hey,
like
if you
plant
don't trust
shaming.
That guy, just flag down a bus driver.
Honestly.
If there had been a bus driver going past, I would have said, have you seen my hedge? But
no, you're in the middle of the countryside. There's one every 8 hours. Like, that's not going to work for you.
Oh, it's a pre-booked bus only. You have to pre-book it. It's not one of those buses that comes by itself.
Oh, wow.
And if it's not pre-booked, it doesn't come up the road.
That's a taxi. Like, that's not a fucking bus.
It's big and yellow.
It's a carpool, yeah. Like,
oh,
wow.
Man.
I can't believe that. The audacity. And you didn't hear a thing, because they'd have to have had, I guess, spades, maybe a van.
And it would have taken them, time to get all of those plants out.
Yeah. And they would have had to, and their car would have got dirty. So they should have been able to trail, you know, follow the little trail of dirt.
Is it like, I'm fascinated by it because it feels like it's perhaps not money motivated, So then is it like kids and pranks, or is it like somebody
kids
was hurt
would not
by
put
somebody?
The effort in.
No, but no. You know, maybe somebody who loves plants hurt somebody and now they're going to hurt all the people that like plants. Like what? Like what even is this?
It's insane. The thing. When we drive to Wales to visit my mother-in-law, there's a very dodgy guy by the side of the road. I couldn't tell you the road. I'm not great with roads. I could tell you everything around it. There's a Pizza Hut. Does that help? But he just sort of sits there and he's plants and he has handwritten, you know, prices on them. And I'm just wondering, was it somebody like that? Probably not that exact guy. But maybe there really is like a counterfeit plant business, because who's to stop you from setting up shop on the road and just inflating the prices and charging, dare I say it, £30 a hedge? Is this possibly what happened?
All right, have you seen people buying from this man?
No, because we're always flying past, to be fair. But yeah, I think people buy. People buy from all sorts of roadside
and
people.
I have to make it clear, it's not £30 a hedge, it's per plant.
Yeah, so it's
so you have 20 plants.
To make a hedge.
Yeah, to make a hedge. So somebody has got a really pretty hedge in their garden or somewhere, and it's mine. It belongs to me.
You know, we recently had someone who had a bit of like turf stolen that they got just to give their kids during lockdown a little bit of grass, and somebody stole that, and I'm really losing my faith in humanity that even plants aren't safe.
Even it's the just butcher's too much. Plants aren't safe. The butcher's knives in there. So if you're willing to go and take his hanging basket, there's no hope for the rest of us.
Did you like him? Did you think, you know, obviously using all your skills, did you just think, I'm going to hunt this guy down? Or were you just like, I need to sort of integrate into the area as like a new person? I'm not going to go full vigilante.
Well, what I did do was I did go and, you know, have a look over the walls at a few houses nearby, and I may have just walked up and down the street just to see if anybody had acquired a new hedge recently or if there were any marks, but didn't find anything, find anything at all. Still got a gap, still waiting.
Still got the gap. It's got to be a rival villager, right, who resents the flora and fauna in this lovely village.
Do you know what it could be as well? Because I remember watching this thing. It was about a guy who was a hoarder. He lives in the middle of this village, and they have like, it's kind of like a Springvale in bloom kind of thing. So they're like the most beautiful thing. And then his house is kind of a bit horrible, and they all resent him for the fact that he doesn't do his garden and stuff. And I don't know whether that you have to find out if there's an in bloom competition in your village, because they might not be like,
oh, they were trying to take you out before you won the best hedge competition.
Yeah, or maybe they're like, that hedge isn't, it's not sort of like, it's not protocol, it's not what we use for the in bloom. So instead of just talking to you about it, we're going to steal it in the middle of the night.
Wow.
That's one theory. That's an interesting theory.
All I can say is sometimes we get a super, super, super British crime, and this is up there. Like, this just feels really British. Stolen hedge. We've never had this, so thank you. I know it must have been hard to share. We're sorry for your loss and for the gap. I hope that someday you can fill that gap.
I still feel that pain every time I open my curtains and I look out.
Do.
And there's that big gap, and that gap can never be fulfilled.
Well, I hope this brings some closure, because we always ask, once you've shared this, if you had the perpetrator in front of you, what would you ask or say or do?
I would ask him to put my hedge back, to dig those holes and put my hedge back.
Yeah,
that's all I want. Just my hedge back, nothing more.
Oh, that's good.
Do you know what? Although, like, part of me is thinking, like, it is a nice excuse to go back to that garden centre that serves wine.
With all the booze, yeah.
I'm obsessed with this place.
Oh, my God. There, she bakes cakes, like homemade cakes.
Oh, nice.
And so it's really, really nice. It's one of those where you could go in the morning and you could still be there in the afternoon or early evening.
Oh, new theory. What if it's her? She wants repeat custom. She just like, yeah, you can have a hedge. I'll steal it. And then you got to come back and buy loads of sweet cakes from me again.
Ooh. Oh, wait, Palmer, were you so drunk you never bought a hedge?
No, I did. Because I even broke a couple of nails when I was digging the little holes and everything.
Oh,
and putting all the manure and, you know,
my gosh,
composty stuffy thing in there. The big bags. Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This was Thanks for taking us on the journey, because this is just a very unique crime, and I've still got more questions, but we have but 1 hour. So thank you. I'm dying to know what the motivation was behind this, though. In fact, write in and tell us what you think the motivation was, because we want to hear your theories on this. Why would you steal a hedge comprised of 20 plants?
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Now, are we ready to crack this case wide open?
Yes.
Woo-hoo. I've chosen a proper cold case from history because I thought this might be our only chance to actually solve
with
something.
A proper detective.
Yeah, absolutely. No pressure, Palm, but
I couldn't even get my hedge back.
But this is, that's like poker, you know, she's bluffing us and then she's going to have all the stuff.
She's lost her touch. She lost her hedge. She can't do it anymore. But also the way we unravel cases is like totally random and silly. So there's absolutely no pressure. Please, again, chime in with answers, but also just witty remarks, guys. And by that, I mean dick jokes, let's be honest. Let's not pretend we're something we're not. Here we go. Our case is from 1876, and it takes us to Balham, London, which at that time was an idyllic village, but now has a Sainsbury's superstore. So things change. Mm-hmm. The victim of our case goes to bed on the night of April 21st, 1876, rubs laudanum, which is basically morphine, on their gums, takes a drink of water from the bedside table, and becomes fatally ill. Although in a great deal of pain, they remain strangely calm, and 3 days later, they're dead. First question, do you think this was a man or a woman?
Laudanum on their gums. Now, men have gums, and women have gums.
Yeah.
So, if it was a man, would the woman be doing the rubbing?
Is laudanum restricted? Was it more, because like today, like even now, like men get given more painkillers in hospitals than women and stuff. Yeah. If that was restricted and then that's like, hey, this will help you, maybe it's a man. But then if they didn't care, maybe a woman can get laudanum. I have no way of knowing.
Well, to be fair, it's not that I've given you details that would allow you to guess this, but I just wanted to see where your logic went with it. Yeah. Hannah, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting because you say that they sort of were in a great deal of pain but were quite calm and lasted for 3 days.
That's the laudanum though, right? Keeping them zen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, does it? Does morphine keep you chill?
But would it take 3 days to kill you?
Well, someone's messed with it, right? That's my next guess. It's not pure laudanum.
And also it's the sip of water as well is making me think, was that what was poison?
Yes.
But, Palm, you're going to know this. Men and women drink water. You know they have gums.
Do
and
they?
And we know they
drink
water.
Well, I will tell you, it was a man.
Okay. Oh.
And this is a pretty well-known case, although I had never heard of it, so make of that what you will. It's the case of Charles Bravo, a.k.a. the Balham Mystery, which has led to over 100 years of speculation about whether this was a suicide, a murder, or just an accident.
Okay.
So a little bit of background. Charles Bravo was born in St. Pancras. He attended Oxford, where he studied to become a barrister. Charles was well off financially when he married his wife, Florence. Next question. What do you think Florence's financial status was?
Women didn't have money in those days.
Yeah.
Because they weren't allowed to have bank accounts. Wasn't it like all that suffragette stuff?
Yeah. They're trying to get equal rights.
Yeah.
But then I guess if she had a father who had money and there was no brother, then she could be set to inherit. And if she wasn't married, then so maybe she comes from wealth and she hasn't got any brothers. So she might be like, because that makes sense, right? To kind
I
of
know.
So, go
Hannah,
on.
Did her brothers also have this laudanum gum infection type issue?
Oh, okay. Well, this is the thing,
so
isn't
no
it?
No brothers.
No brothers, but why? Are there any live brothers is my question.
Or she might have a sweet dowry coming through. Okay, so really your question is, did he marry for love?
Right.
If she's not got any money, maybe he loves her. But if she has got money, maybe he had to marry her because he's all money.
Also, I'm trying to work out if, like, when you rub something on your gums, is that because you haven't got any teeth or is it because you can just access your gums despite having teeth?
I promise that question will be answered in due time.
Oh.
I'm going to say that Florence is less rich than him.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Florence was very rich and he married her for the money because she was allowed to own it. So daddy would have given her away as a chattel with the money.
Okay.
I'm going to say they had exactly the same amount of money. To the penny. It was weird. And they were like, we've got to be together.
Like, we've got so much in common.
Oh, I love that so much. Well, Parm, you are correct. She was a very wealthy woman.
Yay!
And 30 years of experience, that was.
Finally paying off.
Finally earned your salt, finally. It's an unusual situation in that she's very wealthy. I actually don't know about the brothers and whether that's an interesting question. You would assume that maybe she's inherited it. I'm sure she inherited it. She was wealthy, they can share it among
all the siblings. It's fine.
Well, here's what's unusual in that it doesn't come up much in these cases. She had arranged from the start to hold on to her money so that Charles would have no access to it. And the only reason she was allowed to do that was because of the very recent Married Women's Property Act of 1870, which, Katie, I feel like we tackled this in one of the cases you did.
Yeah, because there was a few laws that got passed, over that century due to people protesting and stuff to try
earlier
and make things
than I ever knew.
Safer. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it was kind of the Victorian equivalent of a prenup that we've got going on. So this is sort of the setup. Florence had also been married before to an MP, but she left him. My question to you is, what do you think her reasons were for leaving him?
She was an MP in the Victorian days.
Yeah.
Oh, did they have female MPs?
She was married to an MP.
Oh, I was like, wait, what the fuck? That's crazy. Like, they can own houses, they can be MPs. Maybe stuff wasn't so bad for women back in the... Or maybe... Hannah isn't fucking listening, so apologies. So she'd married a man who was an MP, rightly, and okay.
It's quite all right. It's like I'm seeing myself in you, Hannah. It's great. I'm usually the one that doesn't pay attention. I'm like, what? They're out to sea? What?
He voted to overturn the sleaze laws, and that was too much. That's only going to be topical today. By the time this comes out, everyone's going to be like, no one's talking about that anymore.
I love it. We should always say the date of when, what is it, the 4th of November.
November.
Is really topical stuff.
Very topical, well done.
Very short shelf life, unless something else terrible will have happened by then.
So the question was, why did she leave?
Why did she leave this MP? Why would she leave this marriage?
Maybe he was beating her.
Okay, any advance?
Sorry, wait, I've got another guess, but I can't just keep talking over everyone.
Go for it.
Go.
Maybe he was having an affair, because there was also a thing where if you could prove someone was adulterous, you could get divorces and stuff.
Katie, I can't help it. You're doubly right. He was violent.
Wow.
He drank too much related to the violence, but he was having affairs as well. So you nailed it on both counts.
Wow.
Boy, do I know my historical unhappy marriages.
I mean, there's a fun book in that, isn't there? Charles and Florence meet, they get married, and because it's history, we know that she was, quote, attractive and voluptuous, and we have no idea what he looked like. So,
except he might not have any teeth. We don't know. It's exciting.
There's a question mark on the gums and the teeth. So you'll just have to picture for yourself what a Victorian barrister might have looked like. Yum, yum. Now, Florence was engaging in some very scandalous behavior right as she and Charles were getting married and moving in together. And the press actually caught wind of this and it made the papers. What do you think Florence was up to?
She used a checkbook.
She wore a short skirt.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be what she wore. I mean, yeah. Is it the time of the suffragettes at this point? Was she in any sort of political... Because if she's married to an MP, you kind of think that maybe she has an interest in politics, perhaps. And because she's got a prenup, she owns her own property, you know, she got a divorce. And it sounds mm-hmm. as though she's a woman who kind of, you know, maybe was getting herself involved in something that's like protests right. and stuff. If and that's
gonna great, but I'm not going to let it slide that you said prenup. I'm pretty sure you did. And we, as you know, we can't let it slide if somebody, you know, messes up a word, because I instantly pictured the Muppets and like a prenup agreement. And it's a beautiful thing. Interesting. Yeah, interesting guess there. Any other thoughts? It's kind of sad that anything could be a scandal. Like, you could say anything. It's credible.
I reckon she was a suffragette wearing a short skirt, chaining herself to someone.
Okay. I'm going to do the double.
Or maybe she, you know, disregarded some kind of class rule or something. Or maybe she, like, she hung around with whoever she wanted, or she cleaned her own kitchen or something.
I don't do that.
I don't either, but then nobody else does it for me. So I don't know where that puts me. I just have a really dirty house. It's a little bit more pedestrian than all the suggestions, actually. She was having an affair.
Oh!
The affair was with a man called Dr. Gully, who was 40 years her senior, so he was in his 70s. And they had not only been caught in the act, in tooting, I should say.
Whoa.
In fact, my source said on a sofa in tooting. And I was like, that is
wow.
Kind of beautifully specific. Tooting.
So as an MP, a doctor, and a barrister.
Yeah.
She has a type.
It's very classy. Not- classy.
Yeah.
She's getting a taste of everything. Can we blame her?
She wants is to get with a stand-up comedian. That's always
Hang on. So the second guy was a doctor. Laudanum doctor.
Ooh.
Third guy, no gums. No gums, but loads of laudanum.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because she was she was having the affair before she got married, but then she did get married.
Got married, but then still wanted to be with the old guy, the 40 years older than her.
Yeah. This is very interesting, and I've literally researched the whole case and I hadn't thought of that, so that's very interesting.
She's got access.
And you say this is a cold case, like we're smashing this wide open.
Yeah.
Motive, access, method.
Why didn't she marry the doctor?
He's probably married.
Oh, he's probably married.
She's having an affair.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was married as well.
Okay.
Interesting question, because I'm not sure.
Hmm.
Other than him being married, but he could have left his wife, presumably. It was an affair, and that's all that it was.
I love the idea that she's got this bucket list of all the types of men, and then it is comedian next.
The next one's going to be a pilot.
Pilot. Yes.
Gonna go with pilot next.
She can't do that till 1910.
She'll wait. 18, she'll hold 70. Out. Okay. She'll hold out for the pilot.
Yeah. There are people jumping off cliffs with parachutes and stuff. Actually, no, that's not true. They had hot air balloons, didn't they? Sorry, continue.
I love that you've gone like maybe not a pilot, maybe just a nutter. Like for two different things.
But what's a driver of a hot air balloon called? Isn't he a pilot?
That's, yes, right. So there are pilots.
Hot air balloon type person.
Yeah, Palm is right. I take it back.
If I met someone who runs a hot air balloon and calls himself a pilot, there would be jibes, my friend. Like, I couldn't. Come on. I'm a pilot. Oh, really? What do you fly? Commercial? You know, Air Force?
Yeah, it's commercial. You pay him to get in that balloon.
I wouldn't say it if I'm about to get on the balloon. I'd say it when I'm done, and then I'd rip him a new one. I'm sorry I have to segue into a bit of darker detail after we've been so jolly, but she actually becomes pregnant with Dr. Gully's child, and he performs an abortion on her. This is important information for
Victorian
later,
abortion.
So Charles and Florence move into this big old mansion in Balham with all this going on in the background.
Do we know if Charles knows about that?
The
pregnancy or the abortion? Oh, what everyone knows about.
It's all in the papers. Like, this is all
public.
How
do the papers know about the abortion? Or it's just, they're just guessing?
That's a good question, too. I don't know, but it was definitely documented in the press.
Wow.
So either she told him or he told him. Oh, the wife. How about the doctor's wife? She found out.
Ooh.
And then to discredit her, goes to the press.
Yeah.
And then
so glad you're here. I really am, because I'm like, I don't know.
We're making it up, isn't that? Isn't that what you do?
Yeah. It 100% is.
If you weren't here, we'd have done 20 minutes on hot air balloons. So thank God. Thank you.
And also, because we're like, we just go with our guts and we'll just like take against someone. And having watched the TV show, you know, it's like, don't just write your own story. Like, look at the facts, be sensible. And we're like, we never do that. We're like, that guy sounds like a dick.
Yeah, no, I'm all about writing the story. But when I can't put two and two together, I'm just like, Katie, I don't know. But actually have somebody here who's like, well, let's think it through and maybe we can come up with an option.
I think that's a good thing that it could be, his wife could have, because there's presumably only a limited number of people that would know about that.
Yeah,
I don't know why I've said that again as a, I feel like that was my idea, actually, guys.
you're like a man in a writer's room.
Yeah, I'm a male detective.
We could turn this into a book.
Charles and Florence move into this big old mansion in Balham. It's called the Priory. So they've got all this going on in the background, as I said. How was their marriage described?
Well, not favourably by this press.
I reckon he's gay and he married her just to get, you know, like in those days they used to marry just to so people would think.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
There's pressure.
Because it's an interesting point about why he would go on to continue to marry her. Like, how buxom was she? Did we say she was buxom in the, what was the description?
She's very, very attractive.
She's a big scandal.
There's so much information on this case. There are long descriptions of, like, she was a real man-eater, she was gorgeous, she really knew how to play him, you know, like... copious.
Do you think maybe he really loved her and he didn't care about the scandals?
Don't know. It's an interesting thing to put out there. I will tell you, when the police looked into it and interviewed people, it revealed that Charles's behavior towards Florence, even for the time when this was pretty commonplace, was controlling, mean, violent, and bullying. One of the issues between them is that he wanted children and he was trying to pressure Florence into having them, and she did not want children, having suffered several miscarriages as well as what was probably a horrific experience with the doctor.
Jesus.
Plus, from the very start of their marriage, Florence had become chronically ill and the cause of this was unknown. So... just for a little bit of light relief from the trauma, again, the building where the coroner's inquest took place still stands in Balham. Any guesses what that building is today?
The Bedford in Balham where they do comedy.
It literally is.
No way! That's like the only place I know in Balham apart from Sainsbury's.
Same. Yeah, it is. And I had no idea the history of it. Yeah. Yeah. So it's, for those who don't know it, it's a bar, restaurant and performance venue. So there's live
music
and comedy.
They do dance lessons.
Yeah.
There's a lot of rooms.
I thought you meant like loads of floors as in there's lots wrong with the comedy night. The mic doesn't work. The lighting is bad.
Wow. How long into their marriage do you think Charles died?
2 years.
Okay.
I'm going to go 6 months. I'm going there. If this is, which sounds like it could be potentially a poisoning. Although you did say that he wanted to have children, she didn't, and that they'd sort of maybe tried. So maybe a bit longer. I'm going to go a year. So Kate, 2 year. I'm going a year.
Okay.
I'm going to go longer. If I've had a few miscarriages, she's been chronically ill.
Yeah.
And the pressure. And
remember,
the
she was
and the
married before.
Oh, the miscarriages.
So the miscarriages were not
one.
Necessarily with Charles.
Second guy was the doctor who gave her an abortion.
Yeah.
And then this is the third guy that she's married who wants to have kids.
Kids.
Yeah. And she doesn't.
And she's still traumatized from all of this other stuff.
So we've got 2 years, 4 months. Parm, what did you say, or do you want to switch what you said?
She said longer.
I'm going to go a year because I've changed it now because of the miscarriages. Might be with the other guy.
Yeah, okay. Hannah's gone back six months.
Hannah's the closest.
Oh, what was it?
It was 4 months.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, okay.
4 months.
And now a dramatic winter poem in the style of Dylan Thomas for our new patrons. sat, wishing winter be gone in a hurry, but a smile is brought to my face by Scarlet Murray. Lonely and cold as I watch Jimmy Fallon, that's not a patron, but we have Sarah Allen. I want these grey days to end, to flee. But you know who cheers me up? Tony D. But it doesn't end there. Oh, no, my fine friend. We've also got Detective Down Under Madeleine. The frozen chambers of my heart start to thaw as I see yet another patron. It's Carrie Blackshaw. There can't be too many. No, I confess, my happiness just increases with lovely Kate Craness. We love every name, we're really not picky, but sometimes there's a favourite like Naomi Wiki. Seriously, that's a great name. The support you all show, better than caviar from Beluga. Thank you so much, Hinata Huga. And finally, till next you warm our hearts, we thank you. And let us not forget surname initial H, first name Lou.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So I'm going to go over the night of the death a little bit more. On the night that Charles became ill, the reason that he rubbed laudanum on his gums, that's the question on all of our lips, is that this was the done thing at the time for toothache, because there just wasn't really any other option other than pulling teeth out. So it was, let's rub morphine.
He probably needed a root canal, and he's doing this.
Probably. And you can imagine that the amount starts increasing. You know, who knows what he was up to.
Because what he needs is antibiotics as well. But instead, he's just taking morphine. That is a short-term solution.
Didn't they used to use pliers and just pull them out? They used to pull it all out, didn't they? And they used to get, like, leeches and make you bleed and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that was in the days of, like, prehistoric medicine.
Yeah.
Of course, you'd, like, avoid the dentist, wouldn't you?
Yeah, oh, my God.
Surely. They've just wrenched it out.
Yeah, and I don't know if there was possibly a class difference, that if you didn't have any money, you'd probably just have to go get it yanked out. But if you have access to laudanum,
you can.
Why not?
My God.
Be rubbing some, you know, opium on your gums.
If I ever start writing a gratitude journal, I'm going to write down that we have dentists.
It's a good thing to be grateful for.
I have a theoretical gratitude journal.
I'm terrified of the dentist.
So Florence, on this evening, they had had dinner, but Florence had excused herself from dinner early on, complaining that she didn't feel well, which was very commonplace for her. And just a note that Charles and Florence slept in different bedrooms. Charles had taken a drink of water from his bedside table and had subsequently become very ill for 3 days. As I said, he did go to hospital for treatment. What do you think the cause of death was?
Well, you don't die from toothache, do you?
Well, you do if it's an infection that could have, you know, needed antibiotics, but instead you've been poisoned by whatever the bacteria is.
That's a fair point. Actually, yeah. It's not correct, but it's a fair point.
Okay, I've got a theory.
Okay.
I reckon that he survived the 3 days, had the drink of water, and then he fell out of bed.
Ooh, and just hit his head or something.
He fell out of bed, hit his head, that's it, that's the end.
Wouldn't that be a little twist, that it was just a head injury after all this? I like
okay.
it.
Okay,
So I like
did he die?
Everybody else's.
Did he die in hospital or did he come back?
He died in hospital. He dies in hospital. Yeah.
So it could be the hospital's fault.
Hannah George, you're very quiet. What's going through that curly-haired brain of yours?
I'm thinking, like, with a lot of these cases, is it's either like strychnine or arsenic or, you know, one of your big poisons. But I kind of feel like if they do find that in his bloodstream, I feel as though there might be a way that they'd actually found out who did it, because this is a cold case, right? We don't actually know who's done it to him.
Yeah.
But like what Palm said earlier about the fact that she was also dating a doctor, you know. So, because I was thinking that often you had to sign for it at the chemist, didn't you?
But she can get a prescription, yeah.
Yeah, or she could get it sort of like off the books. So I'm going to go for strychnine, knowing that it's probably not true.
Well, you're the closest, Hannah, because it was poison. It's one that I don't think we've had on here before. It's antimony. Have you heard of antimony?
No.
It sounds like the payment you have to give to your ex, doesn't it?
Instead of alimony.
Antimony Costa was in Blue, wasn't he?
So antimony, which I think there's a British, it's a centrifugal versus centrifugal thing. So yes, I think you guys would say it a little differently, but I say antimony. So let's go with it. It's a chemical element that's found in nature in the form of a mineral. It's very pretty. It's really silvery and like spiky, but it, you know, like arsenic, it was used in medicine for a long time because they didn't really know what was going on and what effects they were even going for. In small doses, it causes heart and lung problems, stomach pain, and ulcers. At high concentrations, it causes severe vomiting, diarrhea, and eventually corrosion of the stomach and internal organs. So in layman's terms, it's basically burning you from the inside out. So that's what was happening to Charles. What was strange about this is the doctors figured out what was going on based on his symptoms, but he was given no indication of how this might have happened, whether he suspected someone of poisoning him. He just kept quiet. I mean, in between vomiting as well. I'm like, well, the guy was probably pretty ill, but he could still communicate, and they questioned, and he just didn't give anything up. Another fact about antimony is that at the time, it was sometimes used in the treatment of alcoholism. And just to remind you, if it helps, that Florence's previous husband had been a very heavy drinker. So it's possible that she had access to antimony and knew what it was used for. Now, Charles and Florence had a live-in maid called Mrs. Cox. She was also at dinner that evening. She was the one to first come to Charles's aid because Florence had already gone to bed. So she comes to help him, wakes up Florence. Her original testimony was that Charles had told her in private that he may have accidentally taken some antimony that evening, but later she changed her statement. Mrs. Cox also had possible motive for killing Charles Bravo herself. What do you think her motive might have been?
First of all, I'd like to know what she's doing in his bedroom.
Ooh. I was going to say, what does Palm think about this? Because, like, this is proper. This is, like, we've got... what? I mean, if a witness changes their statement, what can that indicate?
That they're lying in the first place, or they've decided that they want to either protect or incriminate somebody else.
Okay.
But what is this woman doing in his bedroom?
She's
got a wife in the bedroom next door.
Yeah.
So she's not in the husband's bedroom, but this strange woman is.
Yeah.
Well, it's plausible. I mean, just from, because again, so many theories, that she might have been the one responsible for putting water on his bedside table. That might have been part of her job in the evenings,
so it wouldn't be inappropriate or whatever.
Did but you say that he
put the water in before he went to bed? She wouldn't go in his bedroom when he's sleeping and, you know.
Right.
Yes, she would have put it in before, but then apparently, as she told it, she heard that he was in distress, so went to his aid, didn't know what was going on, and then went and woke up Florence.
Not buying that.
I love it.
Because the servants would have been living either in the attic or in the cellar.
Right.
While hubby and Mr. and Mrs. would be living
in the
bedroom.
Yeah, so how would she hear it? Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Unless she's in the bed with him.
Whoa, yeah. And in terms of, I think the question was that, why would she want to potentially kill him?
Oh, okay.
But no, because
that feeds in. So if they're having an affair, that's a motive.
No, again, because I hadn't questioned this at all. I'm like, oh yeah, she puts the water there. That's her job. And she heard him. And I never questioned that. Wow. Interesting. So yeah, why might she want to kill Charles?
I mean, he sounds like a grade A dickhead.
He's like, a grade A dickhead.
Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe
that is a given.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she just had enough of him, because I think if he's abusive to the wife, he's probably going to be even more abusive to the help. You know, like,
yeah.
He's that kind of guy. Also, like, as soon as you said that about her saying that he'd told her that he'd taken some antimony, it makes me think that she was potentially, and what Palm said about, like, trying to protect someone else, that if she is trying to protect the wife because she thinks the wife might have done it, it makes sense for her to go like, oh no, he said he had some of that. That was what he said. So that feels like it's protecting the wife, right?
Right.
So maybe he wants him. Yeah, go
on. Who does she belong to? Does she belong, like, Mrs. Cox? Was she originally the wife's Mrs. Cox, or was she hubby's Mrs. Cox?
I think she used to be
the nanny or something, and she's grown up with them.
Yeah.
I think she was new to both of them because they move into this priory. That's the marital home.
Oh, you're making it up now, Taylor. You're making it up just to make it more difficult.
How do you know? How can you tell?
So they buy a house and it comes with this woman. This woman's in there.
Yeah, did they interview her together? She must have an allegiance to one of them.
I mean,
or maybe
okay.
They bought the house with her in it, so she comes as part of the
She's
property.
part of the Bedford.
I'm almost 100% sure now that she's a ghost.
I know, that's where my head went. I was like, if she comes with the house, she's not even alive. It's a very good question. You're right. I sort of made up the answer, but I just figured they'd moved into this house and then they both interviewed her and...
So you did make it up.
I mean, to be fair, that is what we do.
How do you define making something up? It felt like I answered from the heart. That's all I can do.
It's a good point, though, because, like, I guess we don't know. But maybe we're going to find out a bit more when we know why she wants to kill him. That might tell us a bit more about who this
ghost is. Well, we haven't
got
to the bottom of... I still don't even understand why Florence and Charles got married. Did Florence have to, because of all the scandals, she needed to quickly look legitimate? I just don't get why she'd marry this horrible man. Or maybe she's just traumatized. I know
that's a really fair question. And yeah, it's interesting, the idea that what if she did it just to look legit?
Just to make
I'm
it gonna go
be a proper
away,
woman.
Like,
it's a barrister. You know,
look,
he was a very well respected man, even though
be
he was a great
doctor. But look, I'm married to a barrister now.
Right. Right, right, right.
Why would a servant want to kill? Because, like, you know, is she in the will? Why would she? Is it revenge? Does she benefit? Why would Mrs. Cox want to kill Charles?
Is she pregnant?
Blimey. These are all depressingly credible guesses.
Yeah.
Depressingly credible.
Basically, that's my new favorite.
That's a new book title.
Depressingly credible.
We found a new catchphrase. We like a catchphrase, Palm, and depressingly credible. That's a new one. I love it. I like having to announce a catchphrase rather than just letting it catch on.
We can't just let it happen. Things aren't organic. You have to curate them. Come on, this is podcasting. Charles had basically, he was a grade A asshole, and he was just known to be cruel to pretty much every human being and animals, and, like, just horrible man.
We called it.
You definitely called it.
Oh, God, and animals too.
But that's what it said, and then it didn't go into detail.
Keep away from the animals. Who's letting him near animals?
What's he doing with the animals? They probably had pets. I don't know. Ugh. He's not a good man.
Did they have a lockdown puppy? Did he abuse the lockdown puppy? That's unacceptable.
It's unacceptable. Are all the squirrels in his area dead? Because this guy's a psychopath.
Yeah, if you go to Balham now, you don't hear birdsong.
He sounds like a hedge stealer, if you ask me. Grade A hedge thief.
Oh my God, he stole the hedge to lure some more animals.
I bet it was his descendant who stole the
I think
hedges.
So too.
You said that antimony is like a prickly plant.
Mm.
That makes me think it's got something to do with
It's not a prickly plant, it's a mineral.
Wait, you said it had prickles on it.
No, it's a mineral, but if you can picture how it forms in nature, it's Very spiky. Oh, that's awesome.
I was literally
said it was a cactus. I heard.
I was literally imagining it in to be like some kind of plant, a bit like, you know, in Breaking Bad when they find that, I can't remember what it is, but that stuff that kills the person.
Yes.
It's almost like Hannah didn't listen again. I'm genuinely so interested in this.
No, it is a really pretty mineral, though, and we will definitely show pictures.
Was he actually a barrister or was he a hedge trader?
Ooh.
Hedge fund trader.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you did.
He had threatened to sack Mrs. Cox.
Oh.
It's as simple as that. He just was constantly firing and firing.
But why was he going to sack her? What had she done?
Do you want me to make it up and look like I know what I'm talking about, or should I just say I'm not make sure? It up, though. That was really disturbing. That you knew that I was, I killed everybody. It was me. It makes me want to confess things I haven't done.
She's not a reliable witness.
That is interesting. That's an interesting move. I don't think it's Mrs. Cox, because I think that if you're worried for your job, you don't kill your employer. Like, that just seems really stupid.
Well, so that's interesting, Hannah.
Because then the missus will keep you on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And Edith, or whatever her name is, will keep you on.
Yeah, Florence is a very powerful.
Florence will keep you on.
She's very powerful for the time.
Other than being chronically ill, and she's getting kind of.
Is Mrs. Cox poisoning her too? How long does she live after Charles dies?
I hold the thought there. Of where you're going, I just want to tell you one more bit of information, which is kind of out there, but because there's lots of theories about who's behind this, one possibility, obviously, is that Florence and Mrs. Cox were working together because they both had a vested interest in getting rid of this guy. He's horrible. One reason it's been disputed on a financial level, i.e. the idea that Florence could have paid Mrs. Cox to do this horrible thing, is that it was later discovered that Mrs. Cox was heir to a fortune in the West Indies. So no. She actually didn't have money worries.
Huh.
Did she know she was heir to that? Or was it like an heir hunters thing on Channel 4 where they like found her and...
They think she knew.
Wow.
Then why was she working as a servant then if she had loads of money?
I don't know.
Was she just biding her time till it comes through?
This is all open to speculation.
She's like Cousin Greg in Succession.
Maybe she enjoyed poisoning people. Maybe she was like a serial poisoner person.
She may not have known, and then documents were found. She may have known, but... She had to reach a certain age, or the person hadn't died yet, and she had no money, so she had to work until that happened.
Yeah.
Not sure. Following two inquests into this case, it was agreed that there had been a possible murder. The doctors suspected that it had been a suicide because of the way he had behaved in hospital, not talking about being suspicious of anybody and just sort of seeming resigned to
it. Was this the same doctor who did the abortion and who had
No, these were definitely different.
Good question,
different
though.
Doctors in the hospital. Dr. Gully was a suspect, but only briefly because he had an alibi. He was nowhere near the area when any of this happened.
But did he have access to the hospital?
Well...
Was
Could
it just
have been
lucky
involved on a different day
the,
again? Like
the
if he was supplying,
didn't work out that way. Oh, hashtag awkward.
Was the doctor having an affair with Mrs. Cox and put her up to it?
Yes,
so many possibilities. This is why we're still talking about this case so much later. So it's interesting because they do this inquest and they agree. Yes, there might have been a murder here, but nobody is ever arrested for the murder because of insufficient
She's
evidence.
Too posh. If you're going to go after a posh person, you've got to be able to bury them.
Katie's always said that.
This kind of leads into the big question, which is, what are your theories about what happened that evening? What do you think, based on what?
Is this it now? This is it. We've got to make the decision now. So who's going to go to that?
Call it on the cold case.
You got to call it. And then I will tell you some of the theories that people have put forward, but I would love to hear where your heads are going with this.
I'd like to, I don't know if you have this information, Taylor, but I'd love to know a little bit more about other factors that made them think it could be a suicide, because him being a bit quiet and not dobbing anyone in for poisoning him, were there any, like, if he's this horrible guy that treats everyone badly, does he possibly have some kind, like, the rages, are they part of a mental illness, is he, you know, does he look depressive, or you know, are there other factors that...
But he might have been quiet because his gums are all swollen and he can't talk and his tongue doesn't waggle about anymore, so he can't talk.
Also, is he still getting that sweet morphine? Because I'd be pretty chilled out if I was rubbing morphine into my gums, I think.
No, I don't think they were treating his toothache while he was being eaten from the inside out. I don't know Victorian medicine, but I'm guessing they sort of ignored the gum thing.
They've got rules.
He was like, my gums feel fine now because this is so bad.
Yeah, that's a good way to get over the toothache, is to like smash yourself in the knee or something.
I don't care about my teeth anymore. But I the suicide could be plausible, but I'd love to know a tiny bit more information. I don't know, we don't have it or whatever, but like that would be interesting as a theory. So basically our choices are suicide, accident, Mrs. Cox kills him, or Florence kills him.
There was... Dr. Gully was a suspect technically, but he had an alibi. There was another guy that was too boring to talk about. Sorry, guy from history, who had also worked there, but he was long gone. He had already been fired, and I think he has an alibi. So, like, people that pore over this case don't usually...
It's her first husband who's getting revenge on her for leaving him.
So first husband kills second husband?
As revenge.
Think of that.
And is he trying to kill her too? Is her illness linked to this? Or you think he's just killing second husband?
He's killing second husband, but he'd like to kill her as well, which is why she's chronically ill. But if she's not eating the dinner and drinking the same water, she's only going to be ill and she's not going to die.
Interesting. So I reckon
first husband's getting his own back, because you can't leave a man like that.
Because they're too angry.
MP, yeah.
Yeah.
Angry, beating her, having affairs left, right and centre. And he's had an affair with Mrs. Cox, and he's put a Mrs. Cox up to it.
Ooh.
I'm going first husband and Mrs. Cox.
Juicy. Okay, in conjunction. See, that's really good. And it's not 100% dissimilar to mine. Mine is Charles is trying to kill Florence, and that's why she's chronically ill. And then he thinks he succeeded, and he feels so guilty he's now killing himself. So it's like a suicide, not a suicide pact, because she doesn't know about it, but it's like, you know those guys that like shoot their wife and then shoot themselves? Yeah. It's like that, but with poison.
Okay. That is a suicide pact.
but she's not like said yes to it.
Okay. That's a murder suicide, is it?
Yeah, murder suicide. Like, I can't have you, so no one else can, or whatever.
Okay.
So it's like your one, but with a different perp. And it ends in suicide.
Right. Hannah George.
I was thinking...
It's all about the cactus, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe what it was is that he was pricked by a... He's going to sleep for 100 years, and actually he's alive. He woke up in 1997. Or whenever. I've thought, like, because I know it sounded a bit stupid when I was like, oh, well, maybe it's because he's having the morphine that he's going like, oh, I don't think anyone's done this to me. But the thing is, and you're telling me that he's getting eaten from the inside out, which suggests they might have given him more painkillers, right? Or do they not do any pain killing at hospitals in those days?
That's a good question.
Because part of me thinks that, like, because I thought that maybe it is his wife who basically sneaks in his morphine and carries on administering the morphine in his gums so that he just has this sort of chilled out thing until it kills him. Because that's the thing that's craziest, I think, about this.
So he doesn't name her. Go on.
Yeah, well, or that he doesn't really have time to think about what is happening to him.
Mm.
I think it was the wife, and she was, if she was allowed into the hospital to see him.
But then why is she chronically ill then? And who's killing her?
Yeah, can she go in? Also, is she chronically ill because of an infection from this abortion? You know, like, is she slowly dying from some sepsis or something?
Mm.
Well, I shall tell you some of the theories. Also, interestingly, Agatha Christie wrote about this case.
I bet she bloody did.
It has just, you know, it got very sensational. It was exciting. Exciting when you can drop the Agatha Christie name. One interesting theory, Katie, you really got this, actually, because this is a very popular theory, is that Charles was actually poisoning Florence because that was the only way he would ever get her money, is if she died. Because she had held on to it.
With her prenup.
Yeah, the prenup. So he would have to make it look like a chronic illness so that nobody was suspicious. And again, in small doses, this just makes you ill. And they couldn't figure out what was wrong with her, which in Victorian times.
So but that then, does he accidentally take it? Or is, because my theory was guilt, but then is it an accident that he consumes it too? Or is it Mrs. Cox? Go on, sorry, I'm interrupting.
Well, no, that, so it's, this is where it kind of splits off. Some people think it was an accident because of the form that it would have been in, because it wouldn't have been the mineral, it would be a powder, and that there might have been a powder that was like the antidote to it in case too much was taken, and that maybe they got mixed up and that there was this accident.
Like when I take, like if I take two glasses of water to bed for me and Toby, and if like one of them had poison in, I would definitely forget by the time I've walked the sort of 5 meters from the kitchen to the bedroom.
Left hand. Oh God, which hand was it?
Maybe that's what happened.
Why is there a post-it note on this glass?
And says fine.
Nothing.
But why would he be taking water up to his missus when he's got a servant who would be doing that?
Ooh,
and he's a wife beater. He's not the kind who gives water to his missus.
Yeah, that's so true. So Mrs. Cox has to be in on it, or he's meddling in the kitchen. How would Mrs. Cox not know?
Mm-hmm. And that,
unless she's in his bedroom at the time that he's in the kitchen.
Right. Yeah. It's not looking good for Mrs. Cox, actually.
There's a lot of blame put on Mrs. Cox. The more that people have looked at this, that she was at the very least an accomplice.
Right.
To Florence, and that they had kind of planned this together, but she's the one that, you know, put it in the water, got the water in there. But yeah.
Who gets the money if they both die? They've got no kids. Who gets the money if they both die?
They used to bequeath it to cats' homes, dogs' homes.
And he hates animals.
And
it's Battersea cats and dogs.
Yeah.
They did it.
I have no idea where her money would have gone. Presumably there are other family members that might be
heir. So Mrs. Cox isn't in line for it, basically. That's not the...
No, I don't think... As far as I know, she had no claim to Florence's fortune.
Okay.
She just happened to have this...
Unless Florence's fortune was in the West Indies, and that was what she was heir to.
Oh, imagine!
So that's what she was going to get.
Yeah.
And she was just waiting for Florence to die.
That would be such an amazing twist.
That is what you said, Taylor. You said she was waiting for someone to die.
Yeah. That's now it's a Twilight Zone episode. It's like you wanted me to help you kill someone, but that person is you.
I feel like we solved it. It just, we don't know which thing we said that was right, but one of the things is right.
So that's basically everything.
If we say everything, then we've solved it, right?
That's an amazing case.
It's crazy, isn't it? I guess the main question we have is, Parm, do you think the Met would hire any of us just for watching this? Like, if we send the video, clip.
I reckon that you could do a better job than some of the detectives that they have got in the organisation at the moment. So I think, yes, go for it. Absolutely, go for it.
What? Send them the bit where I thought antimony was a plant. Send them that bit.
Hannah just comes in with a cactus. I found some.
Solved it, guys.
So here's to Balaam.
Yay!
Drunk women solving crime.
It is time for our final segment on the podcast where we read out a listener crime. This has been sent in from Bex, and she says, "Hello, drunk women. The crime I need help solving took place in July 2020. My husband and I were both back at work after lockdown when I received a phone call from my dog walker asking if I was having renovations done. When I answered no, she said, 'Oh, then I think you've been burgled.'" startled. I arrived home to find the front door had been kicked in and every electronic thing we owned had been taken. Yeah. They'd luckily missed an envelope of £1,000 that I had hidden badly in a drawer, which I take as a win. We were the only house on the street that had been broken into, even though my husband noted that his was the last car to leave that morning, and it seemed everyone else had gone back to work that week, too. My little Cocker Spaniel, Bella, now known as the worst guard dog in the world, was there the whole time. No. Luckily, bless, that would totally be my dog, who's right behind me, like, would not be a guard dog at all. Luckily, even though the door had been broken open, she hadn't run away and the burglars hadn't stolen her. Apparently, when the dog walker arrived, Bella came trotting over, totally unfazed, like nothing had happened. We never caught the burglars, and the police said we probably never would, but I need you drunk women to answer the following questions. Who were the burglars? Had they been watching the house and waiting for us to leave? Or did they just happen to drive past and spot an empty street? Or was it, in fact, one of the neighbors, knowing our routine, and to get in and get out before the dog walker arrived? And more importantly, what did the dog do? Did she greet them at the door, but they seemed non-threatening, or was she smart enough to sense they weren't friendly and stayed hidden until they left? What do we think? I have a suspicion right away, which makes me feel bad.
My gut is that they were being watched. It's a bit of a coincidence. It's the first day they're all back at work.
Yeah.
And then suddenly that happens. Luckily the dog walker hadn't. I don't know. It feels a bit like somebody knew. I don't know.
I've got a theory.
Hit us.
It's an inside job. Hubby wants new electronics. And it's a way to get everything replaced. New TV, new music system.
That's amazing.
It's an inside job.
That's great. Who wouldn't the dog bark at? Who would just, maybe not the worst guard dog in the world, but maybe.
Had a little play with the dog, locked it back into the kitchen.
Yes.
Bex, we're sorry, but again, this is former chief superintendent of the Metropolitan Police.
Definitely
so
what happened.
Sorry if this makes things awk.
Yeah. Wow. And she will be round in the morning to arrest your husband because
we've got just so we can throw
can you
other people.
If we had that power, that would be so great.
Just so we can throw additional people under the bus. I immediately suspected the dog walker because.
Oh, really?
Well, this. I don't know. This is who knows their movements better than the dog walker.
The dog didn't bark and alert anyone else.
Yeah, no, the dog was fine. And also you get the phone call. Are you getting renovations done? A kicked in door? Are you getting renovations done? Look into your dog walker.
I don't know. Maybe they don't want to lead with, I think you've been broken into. But yeah, okay. I hear it.
Is there a thing about the fact that like, I love making up statistics, like 90% of people who like find the body are generally the murderer. Maybe it might not be that high, but I heard a stat about that.
Karen, what's the real stat?
Yeah.
That's a great stat. If only that was true.
Your job would have been so much easier.
Most bodies are found by dog walkers.
Well, so, there we go.
Yes.
Wow, dog walkers are pieces of shit, guys.
No, but that's interesting, isn't it? Because this isn't a dog walk crime, you know, outside, but this was found by a dog walker.
Bodies. Was there a body in the house by any chance?
Most bodies are found by dog walkers.
Do you know, I've only just recently become aware of this, and it makes perfect sense because who else is out in the morning in remote areas with something that smells? Yeah, and now I'm so freaked out because I'm very new at dog ownership, and I'm like, oh my God, we're going to find a body.
Yeah, statistically, how likely are we as a dog owner? What, like 20%, 1%,
80%? Katie, I know you're asking me, so...
Well, according to Hannah, it's 90%. So it's 90% chance you are going to find a body when you go out for a walk with your dog.
Damn.
Do you know what?
This just got a lot less relaxing.
Always go for 90 because that makes it an impressive stat no matter what it is.
Is that like 9 out of 10?
Yeah, exactly. 9 out of 10 times.
Also, isn't it brilliant that people get dogs to like help their mental health and then they just find dead bodies?
Yeah. So, Bex, we've either broken up your marriage ruined your relationship with your dog walker or made you scared to take your own dog for a walk. So you're welcome. And keep sending us your crimes, guys, because we will sort. Thank you, Bex.
We will definitely make things better and not worse.
This segment almost always ends with an apology. It's just, we should have a little soundbite like, we're sorry.
It's what the people want. It's,
yeah. Also, we normally blame the mother, don't we? So, Bex, where was your mum at this moment? Because
yeah, she's not in the clear.
Now, we have just enough time to ask Parm, can you tell us what you're up to? Where can we find you? What have you got going on? I hope that you can talk about your book a little bit, which sounds amazing.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I left after 30 years and then I decided to write a book, which is more about being cathartic and, you know, you compartmentalize all parts of your life.
Ooh.
And for me, born and brought up in Birmingham, 15 years old, I had a forced marriage, 21 years old, I had a child and I was divorced.
Wow.
And then I joined the police service. So it's like a chronology or a jigsaw that I'd never actually put together.
Wow.
And then the first time I actually read the book, because it's co-authored, I hadn't actually realised that that was my story. Huh. And it was a bit of a,
wow,
it was a bit of an eye-opener for me as well. Loved every moment of it because it was meeting the co-author with drinks, wine, wine, drinks, you know.
Good.
And so it was a great experience doing it. And next week we've got a book signing in Bridport and we're doing various book signings and bits and pieces.
Oh, great.
And obviously I've done the Murder Island and I'm hoping that there'll be more opportunities going forward.
Yeah.
The book is called Black and Blue, One Woman's Story of Policing and Prejudice.
Wow.
And it really does look amazing just because I just can't even imagine the ceilings you had to smash through to get to where you got to.
I have to say, I really enjoyed my career and hand on my heart, I would recommend policing to anybody who's thinking about joining.
Oh,
it's
wow.
an absolutely amazing career choice. Really, really did enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it every single day, but the majority of the time I did enjoy it. And there were challenges and battles and I fought them and I won. So
amazing.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Incredible. Oh, that's so cool.
There's some incredible policing in policing and they do an incredibly hard job.
Yeah.
So. Where's the best place to follow you to find out what else you have going on? Is it Twitter or?
I'm on Twitter and I'm on LinkedIn as well. And my agents, I've got agents.
Nice.
Never thought I'd say that. My agents, there's two incredible ladies in it, Night 8 and Management Agency.
Oh,
and they look after all of that sort of stuff for me.
Okay. Yeah.
They tell me what to do, basically.
Well, who are you on Twitter?
At SUPT Palm, SUPT Palm. And the reason it's still got my rank in there is because that was my private Twitter account, which I set up about 10, 15 years ago.
Oh,
and
wow.
I didn't want to lose some of the photos and things.
Oh.
So I just kept it at that. So it's short for Superintendent Palm, which is what I was at the time.
Oh,
that's so cool.
That's
really great.
Cool. Do you like doing TV? Are you hoping for more opportunities like that? Because you seem so comfortable in that medium. It's like you're just made for it.
Well, I loved the TV thing. I really did. Yeah. But I do think that there should be four of you, not just the three of you. And I am available. So just putting it out there.
I like it.
Okay. Do you know what we should do that? Like every episode, we should just like send it to you before it goes out. And then we actually get a kind of proper view on what could have happened.
It's great to have somebody with proper intel. I've loved this.
I'm not so sure about the proper intel because you seem to know more about the 1860s. Because I wasn't around then.
And we are actually vampires.
I was going to say, Hannah's got the statistics with the 90 out of 100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hannah is, on top of all of that.
I'm very, very knowledgeable when it comes to statistics I've made up.
I love made-up stats.
I'm sad to find out
people
that
do, so.
I'm so sad to find out that I really am a terrible liar. But it's good. It's good to be honest with yourself. Parm, thank you so very much for being with us. This has been so much fun. And we hope to see you again.
Yeah.
When you join
thank
us
you so
as the
much
fourth drunk
you
woman.
You're so
Parm.
Hey! Hey!
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.